Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, March 12th, 2007, and you're listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. This podcast is brought to you by Will Smith Photography. Will Smith is a former model who uses his in-front-of-the-camera experience to infuse, enlighten, and transform his brilliant photography. His love of photography is evident in his amazing photographs. He invites you to visit him and his gallery on the web at www.willsmithphotography.com. That's Will Smith, like the movie star, only this Will Smith is not that Will Smith. Get it? Got it? Good. Before we begin today's show, I'd like to respond to some feedback I'm getting from some of my audience. It's regarding the toll-free number people are using to reach me with their concerns for inclusion in one of my podcasts. Anyone calling the lickety-split line at 866-422-5680 will reach a no-pressure voice mailbox. No human will answer. So don't be shy. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show.
Hi, doctor. My name is Bob. I'm 54. I'm a guy, and I'm from California. This is kind of weird. I feel kind of weird calling in, but I guess that's what you're here for. As an older man, I started having some performance problems. Unfortunately, there's no decrease in my libido. I appreciate that part. Because I guess it's part psychological. I'm also HIV positive. I worry about transmission even with condoms. But part of it is also physical, and a tight ring at the base of my penis in front of the scrotum helps. So, basically, I guess my question is how to aid my sex life when the libido is great, but my performance really is not good at all. I guess that's it.
Hey, thanks for your comment, Bob. Your concern is a familiar one. Men regularly present this problem in my private practice, and I also have a personal familiarity with the issue in my own life. Diminished performance, at least in terms of a perpetually stiff dick, is a natural occurrence as we age. There was a time when I thought this was a major problem. I don't think like that now. These days, I'm helping my older clients, as well as myself, appreciate the full range of sensuality that is the unique purview of us more seasoned lovers. I've always felt that as gay men, we are too genitally focused, especially when it comes at the expense of all the other pleasure zones our body has been gifted with. The rushed, hormonally driven sex of my youth has matured into a slower, more relaxed and sensual sexuality that I'm thoroughly enjoying. This has been one of the very best gifts of the aging process. It's even having an effect on my younger partners, and they are very appreciative. So, I no longer equate performance with a stiff dick. For those times when I absolutely need a rock-hard hard-on, a cock ring does just fine, just as you suggest. I'm aware that I may need more time to achieve this kind of erection, but I'm not just twiddling my thumbs while I'm waiting, if you know what I mean. I'm no longer frustrated by the natural phenomenon because I no longer have unrealistic expectations of my aging body. I realize that many men are experimenting with erection-enhancing medications such as Viagra. But I suggest that this be reserved for those who are truly experiencing erectile dysfunction. I'm also really concerned about the alarming rise of younger men, men in their 20s and 30s, who are using Viagra or other similar drugs recreationally. This is a really bad idea. If your young body is having difficulty producing an erection, then you need medical attention as soon as possible. However, if you are abusing Viagra just so that you can have an erection that lasts 4 hours, This, as I said, is a bad idea for several reasons, not least of which is your body will habituate itself to that stuff, and you will find that in time you won't be able to get it up at all without ever-increasing doses of Viagra. This is going to fuck up your cardiovascular system big time. In fact, you may very well be inducing the very sexual dysfunction the drug is supposed to help. Consider the person who overuses eye drops or lip balm or any other innocuous health or beauty product. Their bodies stop making the natural substances that these over-the-counter products are intended to assist. It's counterproductive, and it's ill-advised. If this is a problem with relatively harmless over-the-counter products, you know you are playing with fire when you're abusing powerful prescription meds. Oops. Sorry, Bob. I went off topic there for a minute. It's just that every opportunity I get the message out that will dissuade someone from hurting him or herself, I just launch into it. So back to you. It is clear from what you tell me your performance problems do, as you suggest, also have a psychological component to it. You have a fear that despite being responsible in your sex play, and even though you play safe, you could accidentally pass on HIV. It's true, one's brain can, indeed, override almost every function of our body. For example, we draw each and every breath we take without even thinking about it. However, if a situation dictates, our brain can and does override that essential pulmonary function, and we can hold our breath. The same is true with our sexual response cycle. Sometimes we can become sexually aroused without really thinking about it. However, if for one reason or another our brain, assisted by our conscience, interferes with or even shuts down the sexual arousal, that's pretty much all she wrote. Your scruples about the possibility that you could accidentally pass along HIV are interfering with your sexual response cycle. No cock ring or erection-enhancing medication is going to change that, darling. In other words, the problem is not in your cock. The problem's in your head. This is something you're going to have to wrestle with and finally resolve. But this tension between your head and your dick is actually a good thing. Your body is providing you an opportunity to align your moral values with your sexual performance. How this will resolve itself, I couldn't say. But I know for sure resolution is possible. I do suggest, however, that you try not to do this in a vacuum. Reach out to an HIV support group or a sex-positive therapist for help. You'll need that in making peace between your head and your cock. Good luck! I'd like us to turn our attention to one of my listeners who decided to write me rather than call. She tells me that she was too shy to call, thinking that I would be answering the telephone myself. Aw, shucks. As much as I would like to communicate directly with all of you who call, I'm afraid that would be impossible. Besides, dear listeners, I want to ensure you that you will have the privacy you need to make your call. The toll-free number goes directly to voicemail to ensure ease of communication and your anonymity. The number to call is 866-422-5680. Okay, here's the written submission I just mentioned. My correspondent is Sylvie. She's 24, she lives in Atlanta, and she writes, "Hi, I'm 24 and I've been sexually active for 3 years, but I've never had an orgasm, at least not that I know of. I hear my friends talk about their orgasms and I don't feel anything like that. I know I should ask them about it, but I don't want them to know that this is happening to me. Do you think there's something wrong with me?" Boy, if I had a nickel for every time I heard this complaint over the years, I'd be a wealthy man. Even in this day and age where sexually laden messages abound in the popular culture, there are still some women, even young women, who are unversed about orgasms in general and how they could go about getting one for themselves in particular. I'm amazed because I almost never hear the same sort of thing from a man. Sure, our sexual response cycle is more obvious than a woman's. Our thingy just stands at attention when we're looking for some relief. And most boys figure out how to squeeze one off in puberty, if not earlier. And we don't stop till we're dead. I often wonder what the world would be like if us menfolk had as hard a time getting off as some women do. The mind just boggles. But let's begin with dispelling the notion that there may be something wrong with you, Sylvie. There isn't. You do, however, fall into a category we in the business call pre-orgasmic women. Don't you just love that concept? I use it all the time. Well, maybe not the orgasmic part. But when someone says to me, "Say, Doc, with all this notoriety, you must be a millionaire by now," I simply reply, "No, I'm pre-millionaire." You get it? I have confidence that one day I may indeed be a millionaire, but I have not yet accomplished that. The same is true for you, Sylvie. Well, maybe not the millionaire part. But you should have some confidence that you're going to be orgasmic one day. You've just not accomplished it yet. And I'm going to assume a couple other things, Sylvie. Even though I think that's a really dangerous thing, making assumptions in this line of work. But what the hey, let's throw caution to the wind. I'm going to assume that you have not had an orgasm, because if you had, I'm sure that you would know that you had. My other assumption is that you are sexually active with male partners. I'm going out on a limb, darling, because I absolutely never hear from pre-orgasmic lesbians. Hell, there may not even be such a creature. It would be just like hearing from a sexually active gay man that he's never had a blowjob. It just don't happen. And it stands to reason, too, right? Lesbian women tend to be more attuned to their bodies, and they certainly know their way around the bodies of their partners, them being women's and all. But I digress. Orgasms don't always come easy for women, and that's a fact. I suppose there are as many reasons for this as there are pre-orgasmic women. A woman's pleasure center, her clit, is more subtle and less obvious than a man's raging hard-on. Women are socialized about sexuality, even nowadays, in much different ways than men are. Men have more cultural permissions to be sexually adventurous than do women. And if the truth be known, us men's, we don't need no stinking permission to get ourselves off. Case in point. When I was just beginning my sex therapy practice, I had a young engaged couple, Joel and Amy, visit me with the very issue you raised, Sylvie. As I would soon learn, Joel considered himself a top-notch cocksmith. He was fond of saying that he could reduce any woman to blubbering jelly with either his mouth or his magic wand of a dick. Oh, Lord, how us men's love to brag! But Joel was completely flummoxed to discover that the love of his life, the young woman sitting next to him, was immune to his sexual prowess. He had to get to the bottom of this, so to speak, and so he decided to haul the little woman in for my diagnosis. Amy squirmed with discomfort during this little introduction. I thought she would absolutely die as Joel detailed the intimacies of their lovemaking. He was being very explicit. And I knew I'd get nowhere with Amy while numbnuts Joel was sitting right there, so I told him to take a hike while Amy and I had a little chat. At first, I asked Amy about early messages she got about her body. She thought for a moment and answered, "I don't know if this is what you mean, but one of my earliest recollections is my mother teaching me how to wash myself. I must have been no more than 5 or 6 years old. She began by telling me I should wash my body like I wash dishes. First and foremost, I was to attend to my hair and my face and my hands, like we would first wash the fine china and silverware. My mother explained that my hair, face, and hands would be the very things that attracted a husband to me. Then I was to wash the rest of my body, just like we were washing the rest of the dishes. And finally, at the end of the bath, I could wash my genitals, but only with a different cloth than the one I used on the rest of me, just like when we washed the pots and pans." This unearthed memory startled Amy. Even though she hadn't thought about it for years, she realized she continued to wash herself in that same manner to that very day. This was so startling to her that she followed that revelation with one equally astonishing. She told me that when she reached puberty, her mother took her aside for the big talk. Menstruation, with all the embarrassment and confusion that brought with it, added to the pot and pan imagery, really threw poor Amy for a loop. Her mother said, referring to her genitals, "You must save that for the one that loves you and you will marry." What? This dirty part, this thing that's cursed with monthly unclean bloodletting, was supposed to be saved for the man of my dreams? Yuck! Why? Poor Amy. She was a tangle of confusion and mixed messages. No wonder she was pre-orgasmic. No wonder fucking Joel, despite her love for him, was a teeth-clenching chore. No wonder his begging to eat her pussy was met with, "Oh, please don't! I'm not ready for that." Well, as you can imagine, there was lots of work to be done. But old Amy, she was eager to begin. So, we began with some home play exercises, which included journal work and a self-sexological exam. I instructed her to get a hand mirror and a diagram of female genitalia. She was to go to work familiarizing herself and making friends with her estranged pussy. Her exam would entail a detailed touch test. Every square inch from her asshole to her navel was to be tested for sensitivity. I suggested she draw pictures of her cunt and color them to represent levels of sensitivity, red being the hottest, most pleasurable areas, to the blue being more neutral areas, and all the colors in between. I encouraged her to try this exercise with both a wet and a dry hand. I suggested a nice personal lubricant for her wet hand exploration. I encouraged her to spend at least 30 minutes a day for 3 consecutive days. She had a whole lot of reacquainting to do, don't you know? And this was to be private time. Joel was not invited. On the 4th day, if she was ready, she could invite Joel to join her. No pressure about that, just a suggestion. But whenever she was ready to invite Joel to her little pussy get acquainted party, he could only attend as a guest and not as a participant. I encouraged her to give Joel that royal tour of Amy's fabulous cunt. She was to show Joel her drawings, and once the tour and art show was over, that was it. No fucking, no sucking, no nothing, just the tour and the art show. Poor Joel was beside himself. He couldn't see the logic of him not being involved. I had to impress upon him that this was Amy's work, not his. And if he just held on to that magic Johnson of his, he'd be back with orgasmic Amy in no time. But he had to be patient. When next we were together, Amy shared her artwork with me. I could tell right away from just looking at the pictures she drew that she had found her clit. Amy was pleased as all get out with her newfound pussy friend. She was eager to take it to the next level. So the following week's home play would include a vibrator. Amy was to shop for one and take it home and introduce it to her pussy. Using the pictures she created of her genitals, she was to kickstart that vibrator, throw it into first gear, and start making lazy little circles around the blue areas and work her way up to the bright red areas. She was to do this privately for 30 minutes, 3 consecutive days, or until there was a breakthrough. I knew this wasn't going to take long, and it didn't. The very next day, I got the anticipated phone call. Amy was breathless. "Holy shit, I did it!" she exclaimed. "Oh my God, I saw stars, the earth moved! I made so much noise that Joel came running into the room thinking I had somehow hurt myself. He stood there in stunned silence as he watched me throw myself another screaming Mimi. I love the way that she already had a name for her orgasms, Screaming Mimis. And so, dear listeners, that's how Amy went from the pre-orgasmic category to the totally I-know-how-to-give-myself-a-big-fat-juicy-orgasm category in a matter of a couple weeks. Yay! Now let's review for you, Sylvie. The basic formula for achieving an orgasm is acquainting yourself with your pussy. Map out all the points of interest. Find out what feels good and repeat it. The object of this first step is not to stress about having an orgasm. It's about reconnecting with your cunt. The more you know about this marvelous part of you, the better you're going to be at slamming yourself a screaming Mimi when the time comes. Knowing your way around your pussy is going to be helpful in partnered sex, too, especially if your partners are men. Like I said earlier, one of the reasons you're pre-orgasmic may very well have to do with the fact that you're fucking uninformed lovers. You see, most men's interest in pussy extends to the end of their dick, and it completely expires once he shoots his wad. So don't mistake a man's pawing at you to get in your pants as an authentic interest in you and or your pussy. Mostly, a man is interested in getting some relief for his Johnson, and that's about as far as our interest goes. So if you find a particular partner that doesn't know shit from Shinola about your love cave, you'd better have the confidence to give him a tutorial before the fucking commences. Step 2 is masturbation. You may have tried this before without success, and that's okay. This time, you're better informed about the hot spots of your koozie. And you learned that in step 1, right? I'm a big fan of full-body masturbation, so while you're diddling yourself, spread that sexual energy all over your body. Tits, ass, feet, mouth, whatever. Vary your technique. Stroke, pinch, pat, massage, rub yourself all over. Vary your breathing, gyrate your hips, listen to sexy music, rent a porn, watch yourself in a mirror, throw in some Kegel exercises, try a wet hand, play with yourself in the bath. Hell, dance around naked with a jewel in your navel, whatever it takes. Many women experience their first orgasm with the help of a vibrator, just like old Amy. I encourage you to be adventuresome and experiment with one, too. Try a dildo or other sex toys as well. Be sure to keep a journal during this exploratory period. This will help you later to bridge the gap in communicating with your partners. And finally, Sylvie, may I turn you on to a fantastic website, clitical.com. That's www.clitical.com. This is a one-stop shop for all things relating to female sexuality. Oh, and you'll find a link to clitical.com right there on drdicksexadvice.com. Good luck, darling. Okay, back to voicemail. But before we do, here's that toll-free number again. 866-422-5680.
My name's Philip. I'm in my late 40s, and I'm a male. I'm a bisexual man. I've been married for over 25 years, and I'm in my late 40s, like I said, and I have a great sex life with my wife. We probably do it twice each week. We do just about everything, lots of oral sex both ways. My wife, she has no idea about my bisexuality. I've had man-to-man sex for about like 6-7 years, on and off, just when the urge strikes. Usually this occurs, I'd say every couple of months, but I can never seem to have sex with the same man twice, and I'm very careful about who I meet. I feel pretty comfortable as far as the safety issue goes. I'm always making sure we use protection. I meet probably single men, gay men, other bi men that are married. Just any man that I feel comfortable with. It's always no strings attached. And I just don't want to start a relationship with a man, so that's why it's never more than once. Plus, I just haven't had a physical attraction to any of the men. Usually, when I meet someone, there's no physical attraction. I usually go with the flow for that one time, usually ending up giving oral both ways. Part of the man sex that I really enjoy, though, is being on the receiving end of anal sex. I just can't seem to get enough of that. And I don't have it, when I don't have it, I usually improvise. And I've thought about asking my wife to please me if I would get her a strap-on dildo, but that's never come to reality, and I don't know, I think she might just die over that one. That's probably the only thing that we haven't done. I don't know if she would handle it okay if I would bring it up, and I just don't know how to bring it up in a conversation. So that's why I see other men to satisfy those desires. Is there any advice you can give me, Dr. Dick? Thank you.
Interesting. Sounds to me like you've discovered a way to have your cake and eat it too, or to make a pun, your Kate and Eddie too. Can't rightly say I'm all that impressed, though. Most of the bisexual men I know wouldn't envy your arrangement either, because most of the bisexual men I know are not living dual lives. Most are out-of-the-closet bisexuals. They're happier and healthier than their closeted counterparts. They are also less likely to seek anonymous connections with other partners just to relieve their horniness, as you apparently do. In fact, when a good friend of mine, a bisexual himself, heard your message, he was totally put off. He said that you're the kind of bisexual that gives bisexuals a bad name. I may not go that far, but you're skulking around looking for cock while you keep the little woman at home in the dark is a problem for me. Of course, this sort of behavior militates against you forming any deeper connection with a guy other than a quick furtive dalliance might allow. And how can years and years of this behavior be satisfying? Also, by siphoning off all this sexual energy, you blunt the need to challenge some of that energy into finding a creative solution to your sexual needs with your wife. You report that you have a really good sex life with her. She sounds pretty open-minded. Are you sure she'd freak out to learn that you were bi? I'll bet not as much as she would freak out if she comes to learn about your other life from someone other than you, right? You're skating on some pretty thin ice there, my friend. And about the anal sex thing, why couldn't you incorporate that into your lovemaking with your wife? You could broach the issue slowly. For example, you guys could watch some bi porn. Or straight porn, where the guy is getting pegged by the gal with the strap-on. Drop some hints about wanting to investigate anal stimulation. Or even though this seems to go against the way you seem to handle things generally, why not just come out and say you want to get your ass pounded? Butt-fucking isn't just for the gays anymore. Your wife could start with finger stimulation and then perhaps a vibrator and then a dildo. This isn't a strange request at all. I'll bet she'd understand that a man's butthole is a very sensitive pleasure zone, regardless if he's gay or bi or straight. I know lots of straight guys who are totally into their prostates, and their wives and girlfriends enjoy the shift in sex roles. Lots of women get off on being a top. So Phil, why not give the old, honest, straightforward approach a try for a change? Jettison the duplicity. It's going to wind up biting you in the ass one day, and not in a good way. Good luck. Oh my God, look at the time. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Will Smith Photography. Will's photos are full of creativity, imagination, and passion. He's a master craftsman. If you're looking for the best in digital photography for yourself or as art to purchase, visit Will on the web at www.willsmithphotography.com. Will Smith Photography is located in Manhattan, New York City, don't you know? But before I go, I want to call your attention to the lickety-split connection at drdicksexadvice.com. Remember, folks, no one's going to personally answer your phone call because it's voicemail. That's right. Dr. Dick is offering you a toll-free podcast voicemail phone number to call in your questions. You do want to be in one of my podcasts, don't you? Call now. The number is 866-422-5680. Again, the toll-free voicemail telephone number is 866-422-5680. And look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. You don't want to miss even one episode. So until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.